Welcome to the Toffee Blues Opposition View. I'm Max, as always, and coming up this weekend, we get to see how the Blues are going to respond to that awful 5-1 loss last time out at the Emirates. I got the chance to sit down and talk to Terence of Holmesdale Radio, which is the Crystal Palace radio show and podcast, just to talk about Crystal Palace's performances this far this season, how the season's gone, what he expects for the remainder of the season, and how we think the game's going to go on Saturday. Welcome to the Toffee Blues Opposition View with me, Max. I'm joined by Terence of Holmesdale Radio, which is the Crystal Palace radio show and podcast. Well, Terence, it's been a peculiar season for Crystal Palace, particularly from an outsider looking in. Obviously, before the season started, you appointed a man who was very much in the running for the Everton job at one point, Frank de Boer. Didn't get off to the greatest of starts. I don't think you even scored a goal in his four Premier League games. And then obviously Roy Hodgson's come in, and obviously the morale would have been low, confidence would have been low with the players. But, you know, Roy Hodgson, you know, the managerial journeyman that he is, I can recall several good results. I mean, I know you've got a 2-1 win over Chelsea, and at one point you beat Leicester 3-0. Just how much influence has Roy Hodgson had in really turning your season around?
Well, I mean, it's been quite a miracle, really. It took him. He got a bit off to a bit of a slow start, losing the first three, and you know, people were not sure whether Hodgson was the right appointment. I mean, certainly if we had deployed him in the summer when we employed the Boer, it would have probably been people would have been upset about that. But you know, as it went on, he did basically what Allardyce did when he came in at Palace, or what Tony Pulis did when he came in at Palace. He just got us organised and give us a sort of a game plan, and it started off simple. And how his influence has grown is how he's expanded the way we play bit by bit by bit. So there's a switch in formations all the time if it's not going so well in games, and the way the players understand their roles in multiple formations now across basically plans A, B and C, which we're not very used to seeing at Palace. Usually we've got plan A, as we did under Allardyce, as I'm sure you've probably realised already now. And but if plan A is not working, Hodgson's got a B and a C. And, you know, he's experienced success at clubs of our size. If you look at what he did with West Brom, what he did with Fulham, he's certainly, you know, proven in the past exactly how good he can be. And, yeah, the turnaround's been great. And the climb up the league has been fantastic, especially factoring in all the injuries we have now.
Yeah, you mentioned that a man who's going to be out on Saturday has been pretty much your key player, Wilfried Zaha, and he was a man who scored in the last time that Crystal Palace faced Everton in that 2-2 draw, where Nias became the first player to be banned for deceiving an official. Just in overall context, how do Crystal Palace fans feel about Wilfried Zaha? I know he left when he was 20 years old and left for Manchester United. He was Sir Alex Ferguson's signing. Didn't really seem to settle under David Moyes. But obviously, as an Everton fan, we know how much of a bitter taste that can leave. Mm. Seeing a young player with such potential go, you know, Wayne Rooney, John Stones, Romelu Lukaku, we've been in that boat. You know, we know how it feels. So can you just sum up how Crystal Palace fans feel towards Wilfried Zaha?
Well, when he left when he was 20, he went in the January before we got promoted. So we were very much in the mix of promotion, but you never knew if we were going to go up. And it was £15 million on the table, which for us, we were, as a club, making between £2 and £3 million loss a season. So, you know, £15 million, a lot of money to get into the coffers. Did we blink early? We probably did. But as Steve Parish, our chairman, always said about Zaha, it's a case of when Man United come knocking, can you really say no, especially when you're a championship club? And, you know, you got to feel sorry for him. He's Sir Alex Ferguson's last signing. He signed for a very different Man United to the one he turned up at. And it was always going to be very, very difficult for Moyes or anyone going into that club, you know, as it was for Van Gaal going in after him. And, yeah, it was always going to struggle to break into that team. He got a player of the season in their pre-season tour. And Man United fans were expecting big things. But for whatever reason, it didn't work out. The press didn't help with. There was loads of rumours flying around about him and Moyes' daughter, which were factually inaccurate. But, you know, like, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story, you know. And when he came back, what there was a little bit before he came back, because he wanted to come back on loan to us initially, but was forced out to Cardiff because apparently he was told that, you know, go and experience somewhere else.
Mm.
And we went to Cardiff and won 3-0 in a big relegation battle towards the back end of that season. And Wilf came over to take a throw-in or a corner in front of the Palace fans, and we're all singing his name, and like he claps us. Immediately, the home fans are like Ayatollah Zaha, like wanting him to do the whole like thing that they do at Cardiff. Yeah. No response from him whatsoever. Within a minute, he was substituted and walked straight off down the tunnel. And then we were all like, "He'll be back. We know he'll be back." And you know, hit the ground running straight off, scored on his debut or his second debut for us. But what was weird was Man United had like sucked the life out of him, into the extent that all he wanted to do was get the ball and get rid of it as quickly as possible. And seeing Zaha now, that's not the case. You know, the Zaha we knew that left was one that would pick up the ball, only thought in his mind was to run at the defender and beat him, sometimes two or three times too many. But you know, he's finally grown back into the player that we all thought that he could become, and there's the consistencies there now. And he's, you know, you set it up further up, he's very, very key for us. He is our best player. He's way too good for us. Some Palace fans won't like me saying that, but you have to realise your station sometimes. And he's way too good for us. But hopefully he's settled with us. He loves South London. His family are all there. So hopefully we'll be able to keep him for way longer than we would be if he didn't have all those connections. Mm. But he's going to be a huge miss on the weekend and for the next 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. You say that. And on the subject of the game coming up this weekend, how do you feel like Palace are going to approach this? You know, I know you've got a lot of, you've got a few big games coming up, you know, Spurs, Man United, Chelsea. You're coming up an Everton side that are very low on confidence, lack creativity, and I've always thought whenever Everton have come up against Crystal Palace, particularly the last few years, you've always made it hard for us in terms of off the ball. You are very organised and you're very structured and you're hard to break down. So you're coming up against a Big Sam side, and Big Sam, I'm sure, a manager that you're very familiar with. I really do feel like Everton are going to struggle in this game. So from a Palace perspective, do you think you're going to take the game to us, or how do you feel like that's going to pan out?
Yeah, it's a really difficult one to call, actually, because if Hodgson smells blood, he will go for it. That's what I've experienced with him so far. He'll attack a team if he feels like they're there to be attacked. But of course, we have this problem with, we've got 9 first team players injured that would all be pushing for starting places. You know, Julian Speroni's injured, Martin Kelly's injured, Scott Dan's injured, Jeffrey Schlupp's injured. So, you know, Scott Dan's our captain, Jeffrey Schlupp was our first choice left back, Martin Kelly slotted in and been brilliant. You go into midfield, Jason Puncheon was our actual club captain, he's out. Ruben Loftus-Cheek has been brilliant. He's out. Wilfred Zaha, Bakary Sakho is our top scorer. He's out. And Connor Wickham's been long-term, and I'd be very surprised if he ever plays at Palace or plays football again. You know, how he's been out for 15, 16 months, and that's a lot. That's a long time for a knee injury. So it all depends with if he feels like he constructs a formation with the players we've got, because we're literally just, you know, we've got scraps. And we love to play down the flanks, and that's been where our success has come against Everton in recent years, specifically looking back to the 2-3-2s that we had in consecutive seasons at Goodison.
Yeah.
You know, I think I spoke about this with Jerry when I was on last time, and it was, you know, with Seamus Coleman on one flank and Baines on the other flank, basically playing as wingers under Martinez. It was tailor-made for us because Bolasie and Zaha could just stand on either flank and wait for Everton to give the ball away, and we were away with pace, and we could, you know, scored 6 goals there in 2 seasons running, and it was pretty incredible. I don't think we're going to have that pace down the flanks now. Townsend is deceptively slow. He looks like he's fast.
He's
you know, he keeps possession very well, but likes to cut inside a lot more. So I don't think we're going to be able to hurt you in the ways that we have done previously. I mean, Benteke has been coming in for a lot of criticism recently because he hasn't got the goals. But his work ethic and has increased, certainly, which it had to, because Palace fans are starting to get on his back a bit, because, you know, when he scored 18 goals last season, you can be a bit lethargic and lazy. Yeah. It doesn't matter so much. But now the goals are dried up. But his all-round play has been really, really good in recent weeks. So it's just trying to get players in and around him to work off of the good work he does with his back to goal. And then that is where we're going to be able to hurt you, if if indeed we can get the service into Benteke with the struggles that we have fielding a proper starting 11.
Well, I mean, you say that you'll struggle, but I watched your last game against Newcastle at home. I mean, granted, Newcastle took the lead, but the amount of chances the Palace did create, that's got to give you some form of confidence going forward. I mean, you're 14th in the table. I mean, a win puts you 1 point just behind us, and we're not that far off Burnley, really, and Burnley are being considered to have a really good season. I think it just goes to show how bizarre the league's become in this weird relegation situation. But what are your expectations for the rest of the season? Because certainly one win can turn your season around.
Well, a couple of games ago, when we played Burnley, we won 1-0 at Selhurst. I joked on our podcast, being semi-serious, saying I actually kind of view this as a six-pointer because Burnley are already on the beach. You can tell that. The intensity is not there in their play now that they know they're safe. They're dropping like a stone. We can pull in between 7 or 8 points behind them, you know, and then you only need a couple of wins and maybe we could finish above them this season. All of that optimism has gone out the window in the last couple of weeks because now Zaha's got injured, Bakary Sakho's got injured. We're now out, we basically have very limited attacking threat. You spoke about the Newcastle game. Look how much of that went through Zaha. And in the first half, and this is again talking about going back to how Hodgson has turned us around a bit. In the first half, we played Zaha alongside Benteke with MacArthur out wide, and Newcastle were the better team in the first half. But what he does, he likes to conserve Zaha's energy for later on. So he puts him up top and doesn't make him press and just lets him sort of float around, get on the ball and then just attack when he's on the ball. Then with his conserved energy, he then late in games puts him out wide and all of a sudden he's up against a tiring fullback and he's not very tired himself. And that's exactly what we did against Newcastle as well, when he just made Yedlin, I just felt really sorry for Yedlin in that second half because he just had him on toast.
Yeah.
But it all goes through Zaha, and that's the problem. With Zaha being out, this season Zaha's missed 8 games for us. We've scored 0 goals and lost every single game.
Well, certainly from an Everton fan's perspective, I really do feel like you're the favourites coming into this game. But got, you know, we're coming off a depressing 5-1 loss against Arsenal. I really do feel like you've got the ability to hurt us because we lack creativity and we lack any real steel in the midfield. So, you know, particularly if you're going to decide to hit us on the counter attack, yes, you're going to lack pace, particularly with Zaha. But I do feel like you're going to hurt us. So, on that note, and just to close it, what's your prediction?
I don't think there'll be any goals. I think it's going to be 0-0. Ooh. I think the one area where, you know, the injuries haven't really hurt us because we have loads of cover is at centre back. So, James Tompkins has been absolutely brilliant, and without Zaha in the team, he would be pushing for player of the season at Palace. Really, really underrated centre back, and I'm still flabbergasted that West Ham sold him to us for 10 million. You know, he walks into that team for me. And then, of course, with Kelly going out, we've got Mamadou Sakho coming back from injury anyway, so it's not so bad there. Patrick Van Aanholt, one flank, Timothy Fosu-Mensah is where our pace is now, so the overlapping fullbacks could cause us some issues, but our defence is pretty solid, and with your lack of creativity, it'll be quite easy for us to see it out. And if you're talking about a lack of steel in midfield, the complete opposite for us, Luka Milivojevic is an absolute monster in the middle of the park. Johan Gabaya doesn't stop running, intercepts and tackles all game long. So if we can win the battle in the middle of the park, Benteke is not going to score. we might create the chances, but I just still think he's going to finish 0-0.
Right. Okay. Right, nice one for that, mate. Thanks for coming on.
Always, no worries.
Again, I'd just like to thank Terence for coming on. It's very interesting to listen to his insight into Crystal Palace and what he expects coming up against Everton this weekend. If you enjoyed the video, make sure to like, comment and subscribe. Let's hope for a better result this Saturday, and let's hope that the performances pick up in general. Come on, you Blues.